Hi there, and welcome back to the Story Strategy Podcast from Evident Inc. I'm Nancy Smay, and you may notice that I am here all by myself. Dawn and I have talked a lot about doing more episodes of the podcast, and we both really wanted to. It's just been a matter of time. Kids and life and the pandemic, although I think we recorded all the way through the pandemic. At any rate, we were not finding a time to do it together, and I'm hoping that maybe when Dawn hears me all by my sad self, she will decide that she has time to come back and we can have our usual witty banter, because me bantering by myself, well, I mean, I can do it, and one day that will probably be the thing that gets me a free trip with the guys in the white suits, but for now, I'm going to banter with you. So, I'm excited to be back. I have wanted to get back to podcasting for a little while. And gosh, I think our break has been more than a year, which is not ideal. But here I am. So I don't even know if we've been in this office before, in this house before. I know that I have recorded from lots of weird places, but this is my official writing office where all of my Delancey Stewart books get created. And I'm a weird writer, I guess. I've been talking to a lot of friends about where they write, and a lot of them do not sit at a desk and properly type at a computer. And I guess that makes me either super old or just really tied to my ways, because I can write in other places, and I have. I love going on little retreats or whatever, but this sitting at my desk with my little keyboard and my chair and everything, just the way I like it, this is where I do best. So this is where the bulk of the words come. And then sometimes I do other ones on vacation. But that is not what we are here to talk about today. Today we are talking about deep point of view. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is something that got tossed around a lot. And I remember I've been writing for about 10 years professionally as Delancey. And I will admit that probably for the first 6 or 7 of those 10 years, I heard other writers talking about deep POV. And I was like, oh yeah, it's super important. Yes, definitely do that. Do the POV thing. But yeah. And then I would try to sidle away to the bar or something, because I had no idea what deep POV actually was. I knew that it had something to do with point of view and that it might be deep. So on the off chance that I was not the only writer wondering what the heck this was. Well, and then I should add too, that I met Dawn. We were talking about what we wanted to talk about on our podcast. And Dawn also edits for me as Delancey. She always takes either, the pre-pass before I even write the book, we talk about all the things, or usually she will be the first person to read the book after I'm done with it. And that's always a very sad situation, because I send her this sort of pile of steaming poop and I kind of bow my head and hand it to her, cringing as I do so. And then I wait. Usually, I'll give her however long she needs. She's quick, but it's usually a week or two of me pretending like everything is fine, but really inside I'm kind of dying, because I know that what Dawn does to my books helps a lot, but it hurts a lot too, because she's the one who comes back like, hey, so by the way, like when this person's pet dies, do you think they would be sad about it? And I'd be like, yeah, of course they're sad about it. And she's like, well, so you didn't write that in here at all. Like the next thing they're doing is eating a popsicle at a carnival. And I'll always be like, oh, I didn't? Oops. So Dawn is the one who finds all the things that I forget to do and points out when people do things that are unrealistic or unfeeling or whatever. But anyway, she is also the person who taught me what deep POV really is and showed me how to employ it in my writing. And I will say that even though it is something that I believe I've been using effectively for 3 or 4 years now, it doesn't always come naturally. So today we're going to talk about what deep POV is. We will talk about the biggest secret that you need to know to be sure that you are using it in your books, if you want to, and trust me, you do. And I think that ought to do it. It's actually, it's not going to be a super long episode. And if you're interested, there is a mini course on our website, just a quick like hour long seminar. And there's also, it's not a workbook, it's more of a worksheet. So if you want to employ some of the things that I'm going to talk about here today, there's plenty of backup materials on the evidentinc.com website, and that's I-N-K, Evident Inc. So let's roll into it, okay? First of all, you may be like I was, okay, yeah, what is this deep point of view thing? Like, I know what point of view is. I'm familiar with the deeper end of the pool. Like, how are these things related? So deep POV, and I've got some notes over here if you see me looking this way, and if you're just listening, then pretend I didn't say that. Deep POV basically lets the reader step inside the story with the characters. It allows your readers to experience the story that you're telling through your character's eyes. And so what does that mean? Since all characters have a backstory, a set of beliefs, some conflict, and blind spots, this allows your readers to see the story that you're telling with all of those things, with that character's belief system in place, through the filters through which they view the world. And I will explain what I'm talking about, because right now, if you're like, hey, I'm just going to go to the bar, I get it. And it's not that complicated, trust me. So POV, usually when we talk about it, applies to like, oh, I'm going to write in first person, or I'm going to write in third person. Or if you're my grandfather, whose journals I've been reading, and I'm about to go down a rabbit hole, but I promise we'll come right back. He was a World War II pilot. He flew the Liberator, the B-24. And I've been watching Masters of the Air, which if you saw my little Instagram video, I'm impressed with in some ways and very not impressed from a storytelling point of view. But it's fascinating as the granddaughter of someone who I never met, who was killed doing this job. But he was a writer and he wrote in second person, if you can believe it, all of his detailed sagas about what it was like to fly the B-24 over France and Germany are written in second person. You do this, you do that, this happens to you. It's super interesting. But at any rate, that is what we're usually talking about when we say POV. And in this case, we're almost talking about a hat that you put on top of whichever person you decide to speak through, whether it's first person, third person. You can use deep POV in any point of view. One thing that I want to kind of dispel immediately is that sometimes I'll coach somebody and they'll say, well, if I just write in first person, then it will immediately bring the reader closer. And that isn't actually true. I wanted to say that that's kind of true. It's not. You can write in first person and still make your book the most dry, distant telling of a story that you've ever seen. And our goal is to not do that. That's our goal, to not. Okay, so let's dive in here a little bit and talk about sort of an example. And I'm going to kind of pull this just out of my head. Deep POV is not about, adding I, just like I said, it's not a first person thing. So if I were to walk into a room and describe it to you, say we're writing a scene about, let's do this. We're writing a scene about two people meeting for the first time. So take one. I'm going to be first person here. I'm going to be the woman in the scene. I walked into the coffee shop. I had never been there before. I looked around. There was green paint on the walls, and there were patrons at all the tables engaged in conversation and eating muffins. The smell of the muffins was delicious, but I was distracted from it immediately as I spotted my objective, the man with the gray hat sitting at the table in the corner. I took a deep breath and then walked to the table and dropped into the seat across from him. Hello, I said.
Hello, he said.
I have found you, I said. Okay, this is getting old, but you understand. A person walks into a coffee shop. So you saw the coffee shop, you smelled it. I told you the muffins smell good, right? What if instead I do it like this? My heart was in my throat as I pulled open the door to Maggie's Muffins. The scent of cinnamon accosted me, making me think about all those summers I'd spent in Maggie's kitchen as a kid. But that wasn't what I was here to do. I had to focus on my objective. And I spotted him immediately sitting in the corner. The man with the gray hat had an intimidating air about him, and my heart flew into my throat as soon as his eyes met mine. Sweat broke out on my skin as I crossed the small space, moving between the tables of other diners who were eating muffins and engaged in conversation. Slowly, looking for another word that says kind of like afraid, hesitantly, I dropped into the seat across from him. Hello, I said, my voice shaking. So I'm going to stop there. Both of those were horrible. I'm not good at dictating, but I hope that what you got from that was the difference between being in the scene and being told what was happening in the scene. When you step into your character and you don't just describe what they're seeing or hearing or smelling, but instead talk about the way that those things influence what's happening inside their bodies, that is deep POV. Okay, we're going to get a little deeper here.
Deeper into deep POV.
Let's talk about what the goals are in deep POV. Why do you care about this? Why do you want to do this? The goal, well, there's three. You want to eliminate the distance between the narrator and the reader. So, or the reader and the character. The reader is one, and either a narrator or the character are on the other side. And so many stories have a bad habit of reminding us that we're being told a story. Sometimes that is almost, a literary device. For instance, I was reading The Bad Weather Friend by Dean Koontz, and that book is very aware that it is a book. Through the whole thing, your narrator reminds you constantly that you are being told a story. It was something a little bit, I mean, the whole book is written in a really quirky way. So I think it was a device that was being employed in a sort of tongue-in-cheek manner. And Dean Koontz can do whatever the hell he wants because he's Dean Koontz. But I honestly didn't enjoy it that much. It kept jolting me out of the action. And that's what we're trying to avoid with deep POV. We want to walk our readers into our story world and then just have it explode around them and let them become so enmeshed in what's going on in the action of the story. Even if your action is a conversation or a romance, it's still the action of the story. And you don't want your reader to be constantly pulled back from that action, because when does a reader close a book? When there's a natural break, right? And if there's a natural break because the narrator has butted in to say, and then we turned and looked over here, you're like, well, I'm kind of sleepy. I might just read that part tomorrow. You don't want that as a writer. You want to give your readers absolutely every possible reason to keep reading for another sentence, another chapter, another page. You want them to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning putting the book down like, oh my God, I just couldn't put it down. This is one of the techniques that get us there. So another goal is to remove the narrator and to make the author invisible. Those are all basically three sides to the same very weird three-sided coin. You want to create an emotionally intense experience for your readers, right? That is the basic goal. So how do we do that? How do we describe things in a way? How do we tell a story that doesn't constantly sound like a narration? Well, I have some tips. The main way that you do this is by knowing your character. So you may be like, well, of course I know my character. I made them up. You did. And I would recommend that you get to know them even more than you might already. If you are one of those writers who fills out a giant sheet detailing everything about your character, what their job is, how tall they are, where they went to elementary school, whether they believe in Santa Claus, then you may be already doing this pretty naturally. What I usually find is that those who struggle with evoking the scenes in a really emotional way is that those writers don't know their characters very well. They know them only well enough to have them move through this story that they've plotted out. But one way to think about getting to know your characters better is to consider how they look at the world, right? So if I'm a new mother and I'm in Walmart and I see a baby carriage, the way that I react to that emotionally is very different than if I'm a grandmother who just lost a grandchild, right? The internal emotion that comes with seeing that thing is going to be extremely different. So in order to exercise deep POV as you are writing one of those characters, you have to understand how they react to the world around them. And the way that we react is based on our personal belief system and our filters. So when you sit down to create a character, ask yourself, what things have happened to this character that will influence the way they react to the story I'm about to drive them through? So a lot of this has to do, in romance at least, with the character wound. So when we know that someone has been cheated on several times, anytime the other person in a relationship with that having been cheated on person, anytime somebody else doesn't come home on time or doesn't call when they say they're going to, or maybe comes home with, cologne on her collar or whatever, it's going to inspire a different reaction than it will in someone who always trusts their partners because they've never had any reason not to. Okay, so everything that characters do and the way that they react is colored by their experiences. So what I recommend is, make one of those character sheets if you don't do that. And as I'm telling you to do this, I will admit I don't do it. What I do is I think about who the character is, where they came from. I usually know all of the things that I'm telling you to find out. But the most important thing is that if I start writing and I have this sense that I don't know my character, and that I don't really understand why they're going to react a certain way when something's happening in the story, I have the character write a letter to me, to Nancy or Delancey, explaining why this is going to be a problem for them, or telling me something that I don't know. It's very weird. If you ever want to kind of uncover something surprising about one of your characters, if you're struggling to get things just right and you can't figure out where you're going wrong, sit down and have your character write you a letter. I mean, obviously you're writing it to yourself, but give yourself the liberty to be that person. It's almost the absolute ultimate deep POV exercise. Become the character and write a letter to yourself explaining who this person is and why they're going to react a certain way and what's happened to them in their life to make them this person. You may find that the deep POV part comes fairly easy after that. But if you're like me, you're probably like, okay, great. I have this, I know everything about this character now, but how do I actually employ that? How do I write differently? And that is the tricky part. But what I find happens for me, at least, is that the more I know my character, the more naturally they react as I'm writing the story. I don't have to actively think, how would this person react? It kind of happens because I know the character. So I go back to that over and over, and I'll just keep hitting that hammer on the head, nail on the head, hitting the nail with the hammer. You know what I'm talking about, building things. You want to get yourself so familiar with the people that you're writing about that they're almost real people, and that you can basically step in and out of each character as you're describing the emotions that they feel as they go through the action of your story. Let's see. The real key here is that their backstory will influence everything that they do. So it's fun to just dive in and start writing. When I do that, I find I usually have to rewrite those first couple chapters because I didn't know my characters well enough, right? I will read a really quick example because what I find when I tell people that Deep POV is influenced by backstory and by what has happened to the character in the past is that sometimes writers then are tempted to tell us the backstory as soon as they start writing. And that is not at all what I mean. The key is to have it in a little bowl in your head and let it slop out every now and then as you're writing. What an elegant analogy I just came up with. I don't know how my brain works. I'm sorry. But basically, if you have it in here, it's going to filter out as you're writing. I'll show you what I mean. This is a book called Falling Into Forever that I wrote. It's part of the Single Tree series. And I'm just going to read four paragraphs from chapter one in Michael's point of view. And this is the very beginning of the book. So you know nothing about this guy. You just bought this book. You know it's in Single Tree because it's not the first book in the series. But he says, in my experience, Sunday mornings generally sucked. Sure, there were the ones where you got up late, made pancakes, and lazed around in flannel pajamas longer than you should. And those were okay, at least when Daniel was with me. But the Sunday mornings when my son was at his mom's house, you think I would be happy for the peace and quiet, for the freedom from the expectations and demands of a grumpy prepubescent 12-year-old. But you would be wrong. That was what I lived for. We'd been divorced almost Dan's whole life, and though I didn't miss the chaos that had been my poorly thought out and hastily completed marriage, I missed Dan anytime he was with Shelley. So Sunday mornings when I woke up alone in a quiet house with nothing specific ahead of me felt like purgatory, like a penance of some kind, like they were engineered specifically to remind me what my life was supposed to be about and how I'd failed. So he doesn't sit down and tell you, well, I married this woman and then we had a baby and blah, blah, blah. Like, but you find all of that out, right? In this couple paragraphs at the beginning of this book, it sets the mood and you know pretty clearly how this guy feels about his life just based on the way he talks about it. So, you know, he's divorced, you know, he has a son, you know, he's lonely, you know, he feels like a failure. And so all of those things are the things that influence the way he behaves through the rest of the book. I hope that that made sense. It's easier to see in practice than it is necessarily to talk about in these kind of ambiguous terms. But the thing that you need to really understand is what your character believes about themselves, about the world, and about other people. And you can cast that in terms of what your story is about. So if you're writing romance, you need to know, what do they believe about themselves in romantic relationships? Do they believe that they are unworthy of love? And then why? Do they believe that everybody loves them? And why would they think that? Or do they believe that the one that they really loved, the only person who could ever love them, got away? And why do they believe that? What do they believe about other people? Do they believe that other people are inherently evil and generally out to screw you? And if that's the case, why? What happened to them? Why do they believe that? So this is how you start drilling down into the backstory, the emotional backstory of your character, to figure out how they're going to react in different emotional situations going forward. And then when you get to the points where you're going to describe the way they react, you don't say, Michael was shocked. He really believed that everybody was nice, and yet this person was acting in a very not nice way. Instead, you would get inside of Michael and say, as Michael watched the woman eat her third bunch of grapes out of the grocery store case without paying for them, he felt the hair on the back of his neck stand up as his beliefs about the world suddenly filtered away like sand onto the floor of the grocery store. It tells you the same thing. It just gives you a more visceral feeling. And these examples are horrible. Do not use them. Please don't believe that this is what my books are like if you haven't read any of them. I think more about it when I'm writing. Right now, I feel a little on the spot, so I'm just throwing stuff out there. But you get what I'm saying. You're not going to tell us how he feels. You're going to make us feel how he feels. And the way that you do that is by thinking really hard about, okay, so if I saw somebody doing something that shattered my belief in humanity, what do I feel inside my body and my brain as I'm watching this happen? And then put that on the paper. That is deep POV right there. All right. One other thing to think about is that your point of view characters have blind spots. They're not omniscient and they can't see things sometimes that are right in front of them because of their beliefs, right? So, like, I have two boys. We'll pretend that I think they're both saints and I can't see them doing anything wrong. So if someone else came over here and said, hey, your kid just did this poopy thing, I would be like, no, he didn't. My son would never do that. That's a blind spot, right? So all characters have them. You just need to kind of think about the same thing. What has happened to them to create this blind spot? And what else? I'm looking for practical tips for you. Eliminating the narrator. We talked about that. The best ways to do it are to avoid backstory dumps, skip description, and don't stop the action, right? To make the author invisible, the best thing you can do is separate yourself from your characters. We've talked about this. The way that you react isn't the way your characters would react. And then also make sure that if you're telling us about something, that we really need to know it right now. Don't go down a rabbit hole because you happen to have done a bunch of research about something and you just really want to make sure it gets into the book. That's how you stop your pacing. So make sure that if you're talking about something, it's something that we need to know right then. And I think that is pretty much it. I've got one exercise for you. If you have tried all of this stuff and it just doesn't feel right, you're still feeling super distant from the characters, look for filter words. Look for words like he thought, he felt. So hopefully you have enough information and practical tips. If you are looking for a couple of exercises or just a little bit more kind of hands-on work in deep POV, you are welcome to head over to the evidentinc.com site and you can look for our shop, which is at shop.evidentinc.com. And that's where you'll find the mini course on deep POV and the worksheet. So either one of those would be a great, the word accoutrement is in my head, and that is not what I want to say right now. I think I'm looking for accompaniment to this episode. And if you have any questions, you're always welcome to reach out to me, Nancy@evidentinc.com. Send us a form through the site or catch us on social media. So if you're ever looking for some one-on-one help with deep POV, you can reach to me or to Dawn for a little bit more explanation and help with your actual book. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you guys are doing well. Happy writing.
You can find story writing tips, tricks, coaching, and courses at our site, www.evidentinc.com. Get live feedback in our writing community at Facebook at facebook.com/evidentinc. And find past episodes of Story Strategy at our YouTube channel. Story powers the world, and we can't wait to help you tell yours.